Bringing back memories with that theme song every now and then. I ignore the fact that it's something that I actually recorded with a band of mine from like the mid 90s.
All by yourself.
No, it's not by myself, that's for sure.
I know. I make a joke.
It was a fun time. We were just like making that as an instrumental for us to see if we could get gigs in bars to show what we sounded like. Didn't really get us many gigs, but it sure works good for a radio show, huh? Anyway, I am Tom Ryan. That's my lovely wife and co-host, Heidi Morales Ryan, here, of course, with you, doing this every Wednesday and Friday between 5 and 6 p.m. Wednesday night is record album night here at WHBC, or record album evening, since it's at 5 p.m. We've been covering two lists of albums that add up to a total of 1,000 of them that we intend to play. We are pretty well past the, past on the top 500 list, which is the popular list, and the alternative top 40, which is the albums that didn't make the top 40. We're not quite at the halfway point. We're up to number 233 out of 500 on that list. But this is the year, 1977, where we begin to catch up, and more of the albums are going to be alternative than popular, which probably means we're going to get, you'd think that it would mean that we're going to get a little bit more funky with some of the stuff that we play, but that's really not true. It's just the fact is that a lot of great albums that you probably considered to have been popular didn't chart because the radio stations weren't playing very much of new wave music in its time in 77, 78, 79. It took a while. Those were just the alternative radio stations that were playing that stuff. So thus, there you have it. Now, today's a good example of that because today's album went no higher than number 120 on the Billboard Pop Albums chart. It was released in August of 1977. It is called Lust for Life. And the artist, as I guess you might know, is Iggy Pop. Now, at this point in time, 1977, when Iggy Pop and his albums started to reappear in 1977, it seemed like a return from the dead when he released his first album called The Idiot in March of 1977. I mean, his previous work with the Stooges felt like a lifetime ago. It did go back to the mid-60s. And very, very few people, other than perhaps David Bowie, could have imagined that there was any creative life left in Iggy Pop. After metaphorically burning the Stooges to the ground in 1973, his subsequent self-imposed exile in a mental hospital seemed like the most logical thing he could have done. Pop wanted a second chance at building a career that could genuinely be sustained, and David Bowie correctly felt that he might be the best person on earth to help him realize that wish. So together, they created an album entitled The Idiot, a crude allusion to the impression that most of the world had toward Pop at that time. Artistically, the record was quite good, but it was also jarring in a way that it combined Pop's loose observations with Bowie's, like, I would have to say, sometimes overly artful production. It was very much a David Bowie production. Now, just as odd was to hear Iggy Pop as an observer of culture rather than as the flare gun intent on destroying it. As good as it was, Pop didn't sound like he was having much fun on The Idiot. It's not hard to imagine that he may have been holding his cards close to his vest, unsure of whether he could trust the intentions of this odd British pop star who was suddenly enamored with him. But in 6 months' time, he and Bowie teamed up again and corrected that perception quite handily. Pop's follow-up, second solo album, Lust for Life, sounds brighter than The Idiot because it allows some of the inspired lunacy of his earlier records to reemerge. It only takes seconds for the boundless energy of the opening drum beat of the title track to establish the right frame of mind. The lyrics could be heard as sarcasm, Lust for Life, but the ebullient energy of the song betrays such a perception. This is massively triumphant, as if he's celebrating a return to form and possibly a whole new perspective on life itself. Pop's genuine lust for living also emerges on other tracks on the album, like The Passenger, where he cruises through a night where everything is made for you and me, because it just belongs to you and me. And quite literally, on the song 16, when he sings, "I must be hungry because I go crazy over your leather boots." Success is dumb as a fox. Sort of a lyrical capper portrayal of fun, lusty living, a loose call and response tune that allows Pop to ad-lib his way through a ridiculous array of images that are faithfully and consistently echoed back at him by the band members, even when it devolves into pure nonsense with hilarious results. As on the previous album, Bowie and Pop share writing credits on almost everything here. But this time, the mix is seamless. Bowie stays in the background and lets his killer band, which would eventually, by the way, become Tin Machine, do their work. Pop sounds sincere and confident, playing music that matches the smiling mugshot on the album cover. Out of darkness, obscurity, and drug addiction, Iggy Pop suddenly returned as the new Phoenix. How fortuitous that his rebirth would occur at the exact same moment that punk rock was looking over its shoulder for a relevant patron saint. That is exactly what Iggy became. He was one of the people that helped stylize the idea for punk music. He was absent, presumed maybe even dead, and now he's back, alive and well, and making a fantastic album with David Bowie. The opening track, I think, says it all. Here's Lust for Life. You know, when Bowie put out his albums with the band Tin Machine, the critics were just horribly rude about it. And to this day, I don't understand why, because I think that Tony and Hunt Sales are a fantastic rhythm section. That's them on drums and bass on that track. And it tells you everything you need to know about power and drive. It's just awesome. And it's not that much different on the Tin Machine albums, but that's for another day. We're going to talk about the Lust for Life album, or at least let the music play. That track, musically, was written by David Bowie, but just about all of the lyrics on every song on the album, it was Iggy who came up with the idea for the lyrics, and they teamed up and got it together. And with the exception, not an exception. Iggy wrote the words, but what's interesting about track number 2 on the album is that it's the only song that was written 100% by Iggy. He wrote the music and the words. It's a short little number. It's called 16. I know it's not normal. Oh, it's awesome. Sweet 16. Well, just 16 is the title of the track. The next one is another one where Bowie provided the music. You know, what happened was like Iggy got to know Bowie when he was on tour, and he joined him on part of it. And then when Bowie moved to Germany, Iggy went with him saying, I've got to straighten out. You got to get me to a place where I'm away from all this craziness that has me addicted. Together, they pretty much tried to wean themselves off of their addiction to cocaine or whatever else it was that they were dealing with, because they were both pretty strung out around this time. We covered the Bowie album that came out just before this a few months back, the album Low, which if you go back and check it out, I advise it. Go to our website, AmericanHitNetwork.com, and you can hear the coverage of the Low album, which precedes this, and it's part of the exact same history. This is the subsequent result of what happened after the release of Low, with them really just turning on to like a full power crazy machine on Lust for Life, as you'll hear. This next track, the music is by Bowie, and it's called Some Weird Sin. We'll be right back.
city tonight. I see the city's ripped back sides. We'll see the bright and hollow sky. We'll see the stars that shine so bright. A star's made for us tonight. The passenger, how it rides. Oh, the passenger, he rides and he rides. He looks through his window. What does he see? He sees a sight and hollow sky. He sees the stars come out tonight. He sees the city's ripped back sides. This is the winding ocean drive. And everything was made for you and me. All of it was made for you and me. But it just belongs to you and me. So let's take a ride and see what's mine. I sing la la la. He rides and he rides. He sees things from under glass. He looks through his window side. He sees the things he knows are his. He sees the bright and hollow sky. He sees the city asleep at night. He sees the stars are out tonight. And all of it is
The Passenger with the music by Ricky Gardner. Like I said, all the lyrics belong to Iggy Pop. Like I said on Some Weird Sin, it was written by Bowie. But what I meant was the music was Bowie's. But Some Weird Sin is very much Iggy Pop's lyrics. Same with The Passenger there as well. I had mentioned that Bowie put out his album Low just before this was released. What's interesting is that after Bowie put that album out, he decided that he wasn't going to promote it because what he wanted to do instead was to help his friend, Iggy Pop. So he said, I'll tell you what, you're going to go on tour. I'm going to become your keyboard player. I'm not going to sing. I'm not going to be in the spotlight. I'm going to stand in the background and I'm going to play keyboard and you do your entire show. So people who went to see Iggy Pop, and these were relatively small audiences, are freaking out that they see David Bowie on stage and he's not opening his mouth. He's not, he might smile at somebody in the audience, but he wanted to make sure that the spotlight stayed on Iggy and not on him. So that was a band with the guys who were on this album was the Hunt, Sales Brothers, Hunt and Tony, and Ricky Gardner with Bowie on keyboards that did the tour. And again, while Bowie is basically staying behind his keyboard and doing nothing, I mean, still at all, you could imagine that when the show was over, all the critics ran up and when Bowie wouldn't let them interview him, they'd run up to Iggy and said, why is David Bowie on stage with you? Oh my God, that's David Bowie. You know, what? How? How did that happen? Why? So it became a bit much, even that Bowie was there at all. So Bowie eventually had to basically say next time, and Iggy himself said, next time I can't, it's not right, I shouldn't be there. You know, you do your own thing. But this album became so popular that it was perfectly fine. Iggy, had, from this point on, had a career. Everything changed in his life because of this album. One more song on side one is this track. It's entitled Tonight, another one with the music by Bowie and Iggy's lyrics. right, that would be the end of side one, a song basically about heroin and its nasty effects on living people. Not the only song on the album that brings that up. But we flip the record, and the mood changes now drastically to like what I think is one of the most funny songs. Let me remind you, by the way, you are listening to WHPC, WHPC HD 90.3 in Garden City, New York. The show is American Hit Radio. Heidi and I are here doing this every Wednesday at 5 p.m., playing albums for you and trying to pick up what we consider to be the 1,000 best albums from 1955 till present dates. We're running them chronologically. And we are now in the year 1977. If you want to hear anything else that we've done regarding the years from 1955 until 1977, help yourself and go to our website. There are about, no joke, 500 one-hour shows sitting there for you to listen to, whichever one you want. You can pick. They're easy to scroll through and pick and have some fun with them. You know, we don't worry about that. We're not making money off of it. We're just trying to share what we've done. I think it's a big long series is what it is. All right, so today's album, as I've mentioned already, is Lust for Life by Iggy Pop. And on this next one, what Iggy was doing a lot of times, instead when he came up to the mic, he would only have certain ideas for lyrics. He picked a lot of that up, you know, basically when he was working with Bowie, he thought that Bowie was moving things too fast. So Iggy decided that he would like throw in a couple of like monkey wrenches into the works by saying, just doing things spontaneously. And it turns out that that influenced Bowie later on. Bowie would start saying that he was going to start singing songs and making up his lyrics on the spot rather than having them all fleshed out. He learned that from watching Iggy make this album. And on this next song, you hear it. It's very obvious. The band decided on one thing. Whatever Iggy says, they're going to repeat it. And it's a blast. It's called Success. That's funny. That's them just like letting their hair down and having some fun in the studio. Success. First, probably the most, well, other than Lust for Life, one of the most celebratory, you know, life-affirming songs by Iggy on this album. And I say that because this next song is the exact opposite. This is a song that actually dates back to the previous album, The Idiot, when he was still really strung out on heroin. And the song was cut from that, but they brought it back here, I guess because he had a different perspective about it. And singing about something when you're in the midst of it is sometimes a little bit too spooky. If it's in your past and you're singing about it, it's almost a way of basically trying to say that you actually think you might have beat it. And I think that's how I interpret it as I hear it, though. It's the longest song on the album, that's for sure. And it's called Turn Blue.
Looks pretty good. Christ, she's beautiful. You know how soft she is? Just what it would feel like. Oh, I'm so far away from her. Jesus? This is Iggy. You might as well come with me in low ride. There's Tom. And I don't want to. I shot myself down. Oh, mama. I shot myself down. Jesus called his room. told you about this, but there's one guy, somebody I really love. He's never around. Where I was taking things that could be alright, that could be nice, and I make them so ugly, so damn ugly. And then we put out the lights on them. Yeah, we make it dark. We put out the lights.
Is. Imagine celebrating, you know, in a way, by looking back at what your life was like and saying, I think I might be getting past this. That's sort of like one of the things about Iggy Pop, not just being that he was like such a spiritual guide for what punk rock was trying to be. Like they found this person who was basically doing everything that they are about for 10 years already. I mean, he was that guy. And now he basically springs back to life like a phoenix, and they've got this representative. Pretty amazing. And this album is more or less the celebratory, you know, result of that. So we've got two songs left. We'll play them both back to back to take us out. And they're both pretty much they're punk songs, really, or neo-punk anyway. If you listen to them, you'll probably notice that. With a lot of it also with Iggy Pop. Making up a lot of the words on the. Oh, and it's also interesting to note that on the last song, Fall in Love with Me, the band changes instruments to really make it sound punk. So the drummer, Hunt Sales, plays bass, the bassist, Tony Fox, plays guitar, and the guitarist, Ricky Gardner, plays drums. So if it sounds like it's a little bit sloppy, well, it is, because they're having a great time in the studio. So here's Neighborhood Threat, and we'll let it segue into Fall in Love with Me. Hope you had a great time with the show. Hope you had as much fun as we did anyway. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
look at you, 'cause you're so young and pure, and you're young and hot. You're young and hot. A bottle of white wine,
you by AmericanHitNetwork.com.
In 1958, this magazine debuted its Hot 100 chart with Ricky Nelson's Poor Little Fool as the first number one.
Oh my God, how would anyone know that? There would have to be a website filled with artist retrospectives, interviews, and information about how music shaped the very world we live in.
Well, you're in luck. AmericanHitNetwork.com offers all of that. You can listen to archived shows of American Hit Radio, album reviews, playlists, and so much more.
Most of this firm's 70,000 seasonal white-collar employees work only 4 months a year.
AmericanHitNetwork.com, can you help with this one also?